Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Samach Hey. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 19 lines from the top, basically in the middle of the Omid. We start with a quote from the Mishnah of the Oidom Rabbi Yudah, Nishbach Hadam Yomus Hamishtaleach, Meis Hamishtaleach Yishpoch Hadam. We are dealing with the topic, the continuing topic of the two goats that are brought on Yom Kippur. One is the Soyer Lashem, whose blood is sprinkled in the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and the send-away goat, the scapegoat that carries with it the sins of Israel to a cliff from where it's pushed off. However, if something happens prematurely, either the blood spills out before it's sprinkled, so then the partner goat, the Mishtalech, is set off to die. In other words, without being sent out, it's set aside to die. And likewise, if the send-away goat dies at this point where you've already slaughtered the Soyer Lashem, the sin offering, but haven't sprinkled the blood yet, so the blood is now rendered useless because its partner, the Soyer Mishlech, died prematurely. On the side of the Gemara, before we get into the Gemara text, we have our topic heading, the Nosei, where we've written Lahazbir, our job is to explain, Ha Dekotoni, that which it says in the Mishnah, Meis HaMishtaleach Yishpoch Adam. When the send-away goat dies prematurely, so the blood that you have from its partner goat is spilled out. It's rendered useless. Amai Yishofech Adam, why should the dam be spilled out? V'achshov Tzrichim LaHagril Mechadosh, and now we have to do a new Hagrola, to choose the two new goats, which one will be Lashem and which one will be Lazozel. Vois Avid Mitzvas Amishtalech Me'achar De Hoyo Kayom Ad Hagrola. Is it not so that the mitzvah of the Mishtalech has already been fulfilled because it was around until the Hagrola? So the question is, why in the case of Meis HaMishtalech do you have to spill out the existing blood? Why not just carry on? As far as the mitzvah concerning the Mishtalech is concerned, it has been fulfilled already. Is it not so that we have already done the Hagrolas, and we're assuming right now that the Hagrola is the only thing that's me'akev? Anything beyond that, the sending away of that goat is not something that's binding. It's a nice thing to do, it's the right thing to do, but it's not binding. So now we turn to the Gemara. Bishlamo nishpach adam yomus hamishtaleach. I understand in the case where the blood spilled out, so its partner goat, the scapegoat, must die. Da'akati lo is avid mitzvosei. The mitzvah of sprinkling the blood has not been done, so it spilled out, so its partner is rendered useless, so it's set aside to die. Elomeis hamishtaleach. But in the other scenario of the Mishnah, where the scapegoat dies, Amai Yishofech Hadam, why should the blood that you have from the other one, the Soyer Lashem, why do you throw it out? Why do you spill it out? Hoy Savid Le Mitzvosei, the mitzvah that was incumbent upon the Mishtalech has been fulfilled, and that is the drawing of the lots. All that we think that the Torah requires is the drawing of lots. In fact, placing the lots, the respective lots, on the back of each animal, that's not binding. And sending it away is likewise not binding. Rashi gets into more explanation as far as sources are concerned. But for our purposes, in that event that the Mishtalech died we are expected to spill out the blood that you have gathered of the soyer that you've received of the soyer of Hashem. Why? The Gemara answers, Amri debei Rabbi Yanai, Omar Kro. So the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai cites a posuk, Yomot Chai Lifnei Hashem Lechaper. This posuk describes the standing of the goat while it's alive, Ad Mosei Zokuk Lios Chai, until when is the send away goat expected to remain alive? Ad Shas Matan Domim Shel Chavero, until the sprinkling of the blood of the Soyer Lashem. In other words, not like we thought before that it's enough that the lots were drawn, but it must remain alive, the scapegoat must remain alive until the sprinkling is done as well. And if it does that, if it doesn't last that long, in other words, if it dies before the sprinkling of the blood, so the sprinkling of blood that you would do is of no value. Therefore, you have to draw new lots to determine the replacement animals. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the collection of the annual Machzis HaShekel tax. A half shekel coin was contributed on the by members of Klal Yisrael. And in this source, we will see a situation where a community's money is collected, but it never makes it to the Beis HaMikdash. The agents hired to carry it lost the money, or it was stolen from them. How do we proceed from that point on? The reason we're bringing this source in is basically as a lead up to another source in which we'll be focusing on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll then focus in on the par and soyer of Yom Kippur, which is relevant to our discussion. So we have a source. It says, Tanan Hossam, B'nei Ho'ir Shesholchu Es Shikleim, members of a community that sent their coins with an agent. V'nignivu O'sha'ovdu, and the money was stolen or lost. Im Nisrma Truma, if in the Beis HaMikdash the boxes that held the coins were filled up and it became known before the loss, so Nishboyin Lagizborin, the agents have to swear the Shivuas HaShomrim, an oath that an agent, someone who's hired to watch things, must swear in order to establish that he is not guilty of foul play or of negligence. So if Nisrma Truma, Rashi says, if Nisrma Truma, Gimel Kupois, Kedem Shinoda Shavdu, if the boxes that were designed to hold the newly collected monies were filled up before this became known, before the loss of the money became known. So as far as the communal obligations are concerned, they don't have to pay any more money because the boxes in the Beis HaMikdash were filled already. So if that happens, and in that order of events, first the boxes in the Beis HaMikdash were filled up with the coins that had been collected, and then it became known that the monies that were sent by this community were lost or stolen. So the agent swears to the Gizborim, to the temple officials, the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash, and the reason for their taking the oath to them is because the people of the community, the Bnei Ho'ir that sent their money, are no longer obligated to pay up again. The Im Lav, that means if the monies in the Beis HaMikdash that were collected were not used to fill up the kupos, the boxes in the temple treasury, so that it's, we'll say it's a little early in the game, and at that point, before the boxes that were designed to hold the monies were filled up, it became known that the community's money, this particular community's money, got lost or stolen. And in such an event, the community has to pay again. And in order to motivate them or expect them to pay again, the agents here will have to swear to them that they, the agents, were not guilty of foul play or of negligence. So then, under those circumstances, we said, im lav means, we're repeating ourselves, if those boxes were not filled up, if it's lo nisrama truma, nishboin livnei ha'ir, the agents swear to the community that they had been charged with their money, uvnei ha'ir shoklin achirim tachteim, and the members of that community have to pay again, they have to make up the money that was lost. Nimtzu oshir zirma ganovim. Now we have little letters here, and these letters correspond to the letters above, three lines up. Nimtzu is in the case that originally the monies were lost and now they were found. Oshir zirma ganovim, that corresponds to the case where originally the monies were stolen. So in this case, those stolen monies were returned. Elu, the elu shkolim haim, the makeup money that was paid in the interim, and the monies that were originally paid and now found or returned, they remain, both funds or both coins remain as shkolim. The ein oilin lohen lishana haba, and we don't give them credit toward next year's money collection. Rav Yehuda omer oilin lohen lishana haba, and Rav Yehuda says, it does. Look, after all, there's now a double payment was made, so they get credit for toward next year's collection, and they don't have to pay their machzis hashekel tax the next year. My time under Rav Yehuda. What is the basis of Rav Yehuda's leniency? Omar Rava, Kosov Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, Chovos shel shana zu, Krevos l'shana haba'a. Things that were set aside as an obligation for this year can be used next year. So we have a principle, and we've dashed underline it so we can focus on it. Chovos are obligations. Shel shana zu of this year. Krevos are able to be offered. L'shana ba, next year. Eisfei Abaye. Abaye raises a question. There's a source, and in this source, we're going to see Rebbe Yehuda, and we're going to be focusing on that, which we dashed underline. And we'll see Rebbe Yehuda seeming to disagree with what was just said in Rebbe Yehuda's name, that which Rava presented Rebbe Yehuda's holding, Chovos l'shana zu, Krevos l'shana ba. Here we'll have a Rebbe Yehuda presented in a Tanaic source, which would seem to say otherwise. On the side of our Gemara, we have our topic heading that we've already introduced through the Gemara itself, but let's read what we have anyway. Chovos l'shana zu, haim efshel akriv l'shana ba. Obligations that were set aside for this year, can they be used next year? The Mivneh, the structural note, features a diamond. At the end of this page of Gemara, you can see a diamond. Those diamonds represent, and they continue, by the way, we're going to be counting up till number 5, and the fifth diamond will make its appearance on Daf Samach Vov Amud Aleph. So this sukkah is rather long, and structure continues till there, and they represent Gishos, approaches, different approaches. Kedei lanus l'sheilo shemakshim al adin hanal. We're going to be asking on the din stated in the name of Rebbe Yehuda of Chovos l'shana zu, Krevos l'shana ba. We're going to be asking on that from the case of mipar v'sor sheyom kippur, from the case of a cow and goat that is to be offered on Yom Kippur she'avdu, and this cow and goat that were set aside for Yom Kippur got lost. V'ifrish achirim tachtem, and replacement animals were set aside. Kulam harishonim yomusu, all of the original animals are to be set aside to die. V'lo amrinon yekrivu l'kivra bo, and we don't say, well, use the par and sawyer that you've already replaced with new ones, why don't you use the old ones that you have since found, use them for next year's Yom Kippur? That is the problem. And in order to answer that, as we said, we have a number of diamonds. So now we continue with the Gemara, Eisvei Abaye. We're looking at the Gemara 7 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Par v'soyer sheyom ha-kippurim, she'ovdu. The Beis HaMikdash had set aside, along with the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol sets aside his cow offering and the soyer of Yom Kippur, the goat offering, that got lost. She'ovdu. The hifrish achirim tachtemen, replacement ones, were provided. V'chein si'ir avodah zarah, she'ovdu v'hifrish achirim tachtem. Likewise, the si'ir avodah zarah, goats that are offered in the event that there is an erroneous ruling on the part of the basin in the concerning idolatry. So there's a goat offering that is necessary under those circumstances. Rashi adds that the nature of that sacrifice is a par la'oilo and a soyer l'chatas. They too got lost. Replacements were set aside. And then you found the original ones. Kulon Yamusu, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. All of those that were found are to die. And we don't say, use them next year. In the case of this idea of use them next year is quite appropriate for the Yom Kippur example, where there's next year there will be a Yom Kippur. So we don't say, though, use the original ones for next year. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Yiro Ad Shistavu, Vimochru, Viplu Demeim Linadava. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, they also don't say use it next year, but rather they say set them aside till they develop a blemish. Yistavu means till they develop a blemish. Vimochru, they'll be sold, and that constitutes their redemption. Viplu Demeim Linadava, and the money that you get for that will be used to buy voluntary offerings. And why is that the ruling, that it goes out to graze? And not like Rabbi Yehuda said, Shein Chatas Tzibur Mesa, a sin offering that's brought on the part of the public does not die. It's not set aside to die. In the case of a private sin offering where an owner achieved his atonement through a replacement animal, then we would say that the original Chatas does die based on the rule of Chatas Shekipru Baleil. But here we're talking about public sin offerings. Let's go over the main point. And in our Shas Ozer that appears on your screen, or you have a copy of it, the main focus is on that which is dashed, underlined, with special attention paid to that which is between the lines. We wrote in, when Rabbi Yehuda says, Kulon Yamusu, the par v'soyer of Yom Kippur that you had replaced, and you found the original ones are set aside to die, and they're not used. We don't say that they're used next year. So this is a problem. This runs counter to Rava's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. Amale, so Rava answers. We're at the top of Omid Beis. Korbonos Tzibur Ko'amris. Are you talking about public offerings that are paid for through funds coming from the temple treasury? Shiny korbonos tzibur. Korbonos tzibur are different. When you're dealing with sacrifices that are purchased from public funds, the rule that applies to them is different than what we were discussing before, monies, cash that was collected. Cash that was collected, and then there was a double amount ended up appearing as a result of the recovery of the lost ones, as we described before. So you have a double amount of cash. Well, cash, we saw Rabbi Yehuda could tell you, you get cash credit toward next year's cash collection. Here, in the case of the Par V'Soyer Yom Kippur, we're talking about animals that were purchased from public funds, from temple treasury funds. Those are governed by a different standard. that we, and that's what is meant here in the Gemara. It says shiny karbonas sibor, based on Kidur Rebbe Tavi Am Rabbi Yoshia. By the way, this is a long answer, as is marked accordingly. Rav Tavi teaches Omar Kra, there is a pasuk that says Zois Oilas Chodesh Bechodshoi. What do we learn from this pasuk? Omra Torah, the Torah says Chadesh V'Havei Li Korban Mitruma Chadosha. When it comes to public sacrifices, every year the public sacrifices that are purchased during a given calendar year must be purchased with monies that were collected that calendar year, and not from monies that had been collected prior to that. So you can't use last year's money for this year's public sacrifices. Well, that's a good explanation for the goat offering of Yom Kippur, which happens to be a public sin offering. So, being that it's a public sin offering, I can't use last year's goat, which was purchased with last year's money, for this year's Yom Kippur. Par, ma'iko lemeimar. What are you going to say, though, about the cow? The cow is not a public sacrifice. Why can't the Kohen Gadol use last year's par for this year's par requirement? The Gemara answers, Gezeira par otu soyer. We place a restriction on his using the par set aside for last year's Yom Kippur in anticipation of someone confusing that with regard to the soyer. So we tell the Kohen, don't use last year's par this year, because people might come to think that you can use last year's soyer this year, and that would be wrong by letter of the law based on Rav Tovi's teaching of Zos Eilas Chodesh B'Chodshoi. Question. Now this question you see lasts a number of lines. Omishum gzera yomusu, and because of a gzera. Gzera was a restriction based on the fear of what might happen or what people might think. Because of a we'll call it a far-fetched or a distant possibility. Because of that, Yomusu, are you going to tell me that animals must be set aside to die? That's rather drastic. Rashi adds that if the issue was simply a gezerah, a fear of what might come to be, so you would set aside the animal to graze. You wouldn't say, as Rav Yehuda said, they are to die. Graze means that it's set out to graze until it develops a blemish, and then you would be able to redeem it. Why does he say that the animal is set aside to die? And furthermore, and it's not me'akev, the din of needing to buy this year's sacrifices from newly collected funds is a first choice. It's a mitzvah. It's the right thing to do, but it's not binding. The Yomer of Yudam Shmuel, Korbanos Sibor Haboyin BeEchod BeNisan, public sacrifices that are brought from the first of Nisan onwards. The first of Nisan represents the new Beis Hamikdash fiscal year. So Korbanos Sibor that are brought from the first of Nisan, mitzvah lahavi min hachodash. The proper thing is to do is to buy those public sacrifices from the newly collected funds. Newly collected during the month of Adar, which preceded Nisan, monies were collected. So those are newly collected funds. Vimhevi min hayoshan. If they used Beis Hamikdash funds that were from before that, yoshan literally means old money. Yotza ela shechoser mitzvah. He has fulfilled his basic obligation. All that's lacking is the best way of doing things. So, with all of this in mind, we're back at the drawing board. Why do we say that the parvisur of Yom Kippur that were set aside for last year's Yom Kippur, why can't they be used this year? And if you'll say because of Rav Tovi Om Rav Yoshio, that's not enough of a reason to say that last year's animals, if you had no use for them because you had replacement ones for them, that they should be set aside to die. Elo Om Rav Zera. second approach. Lefi she'ein ha'goyrol koivea mishona lechaverta. Because the lots that were drawn to determine the identity of the goats that were drawn for last year do not work to define the animals for this year. In other words, if you drew the lots for last year, so it established the identity as far as last year is concerned. It doesn't help for this year. So the Gemara asks, all right, why still does it die? V'naisi v'nagril, so bring it and do a new lot drawing. The Gemara says, we don't want to use the same animal and do a new lot drawing, because gzeiro shemo yomru ha'goro kovea mishonu l'chaverta. People might think that it's last year's lot drawing that was the determining factor, and that the goro does establish, is kovea. Kovea is to establish identity from one year to the next. So according to Rabbi Zeira, the reason for setting aside the animal to die is because of this, let's say, goral confusion that could arise. Hotenach, sir, that's a good explanation for the goat offering, which has a connection to the lots. Lots were drawn for the goats. Par, my equal man. What about the par? In the source that we saw in Omid Aleph, we saw that the par of the Kohen Gadol that was set aside for last year cannot be used this year. Why? This ain't par up to, sir. We impose a restriction on the par so as to not lead people to think that you could use last year's Sawyer as well. Question. Umeshom gezero yamusa, just because of this preventative measure of what people might think, we're going to say that the animals have to die. As we said before, let them be set aside to graze. Don't use them. Granted, because of this gezero, and then wait till they develop a blemish and redeem them. But why are they set aside to die? Amrua Rabbonon Kameda Bai. Here we're leading into the third explanation. Why are they set aside to die? The last year's par v'soyer of Yom Kippur cannot be used this year. Gzeiro mishum chatos shemesu baleha. The fear is that the owner, in this case we'll talk about the Kohen Gadol, who's the owner of the par, last year's Kohen Gadol, who set aside that particular cow, that by this year he died. And there is a rule that a chatas, a sin offering that was set aside by a particular owner, and the owner died, so the animal must be set aside to die. The Gemara asks, "Hotenach par?" Though that's a good explanation for the par, for the cow, which is a private sin offering brought by the Kohen Gadol. Soyer Ma'ikol Amemar. What about the goat? The goat is owned by the public, and the concept of mesu baleo doesn't apply when you're dealing with the public. The Gemara answers, I'll tell you why the sawyer dies. Last year's Yom Kippur sawyer cannot be used this year, because gzeiro sawyer otupar. We impose a restriction on the goat in anticipation of the cow, meaning that if we were to allow you to use last year's goat, we'll end up using last year's cow, even in the event that the owner, the Kohen Gadol, had died. Question, umishum gzeiro yamusu, because of this preventative measure, the animals are set aside to die. Let them, just don't use them, and let them be set out to graze until they develop a blemish and redeem them. Ella, fourth approach, why are the animals to die? Gzeiro mishum chatos she'ovro shnosa. We will initially present this superficially and just translate. The fear is that if you are going to use last year's Yom Kippur animals this year, people might think that you can use sin offerings who have gone above a year in age. And we're making a very basic assumption right now that a sin offering is acceptable only if it's within its first year of life. The Gemara asks, is that how to explain our case? Last year's Yom Kippur animals vis-a-vis this year? Gezeira, as a preventive measure? He gufu chatos shav rosh nasahi. It itself is a chatos that went over a year in age. Mind you, last year, let's say on Erev Yom Kippur, you set aside an animal that's 8 days old. It has to be 8 days. It can't be before that. It's not suitable as a korban. We learned this in a previous sugya that mechusar zman, if an animal mechusar zman, so it does not become kodesh. Last year's Yom Kippur animals, this year, they're more than a year old. From one Yom Kippur to the next Yom Kippur, that itself is a year. The animal on Yom Kippur, as Yom Kippur set in, the animal had to be 8 days old. So it's a year and 8 days, minimally, of age. So why do you present the explanation, this diamond, fourth diamond, as a gezeirah, a preventive measure in anticipation of using a chatas shavra shnasa? This itself is a chatas shavra shnasa, and that's why it's no good. The one says, holo kasha, that's not true. In other words, that's not a real objection. Karebi, our calculation of age, when it comes to defining sacrifices, is based on Rebbe's approach to establishing what a year is. The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source that continues till the top line of Samach Vav Amud Aleph, and we have to just backtrack for one moment. Those of you who are familiar with a lot of sources in Halacha, the first reaction to hearing the term a year, length of time is a year, people say, well, it's 12 months, 12 Jewish months, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, Adar. Those are 12 months. The first of the months, when you count months, the first of the months is Nisan. How long are months? Months are, on an average basis, they are alternating 29, 30, 29, 30, giving you a total of 354 days. From last year's Yom Kippur to this year's Yom Kippur, that itself would be your basic 354 days. The animal, as we said before, has to be a minimum of 8 days old before it can be dedicated or sanctified. So it's 354 plus 8. That makes it 362 days, which is more than a standard Jewish year. And here comes the big surprise. Shitas Rebbe. A year in many areas of halacha. A year, in fact, is what many of us, we'll say English speakers, are familiar with, the 365-day year. I often say that calling that the Gentile year, or the Goyish year, is a misnomer, because 365 is a solar year. It's the cycle whereby the Earth revolves around the Sun, completes its cycle in 1 year, taking 365 and a quarter days. That, in fact, is a very Jewish and a very halachic concept. Rebbe says that when it comes to establishing a year, where the Torah uses the term shana, it could very well be the passage of 365 days. Before 365 days lapse, you are still within the year. Where does Rebbe say his halacha? The origin of the halacha has to do with something called Bote Orei Choma. We'll say a word about that in a minute, but we have to be a little expansive here and say that the definition of year in the context of Bote Orei Choma has ramifications with regard to the concept of a year as regards public sacrifices as well. So we have to make that connection, otherwise will be stuck or limited to Bote Orei Choma. Just a brief word about Bote Orei Choma. The Gemara deals with that much more extensively in Maseches Erechin, but the Torah speaks about selling houses in walled cities. The basic law states that a person who owns a house and sells it, and it's a house in a walled city, he has a right to force a resale of that house if he provides the money for such a resale, a buyback within a year. So, but if a year goes by, then the house that was purchased is mukhlat, is established permanently under the ownership of the purchaser and not the original owner. So the original owner has got to act if he is interested in buying his house back. According to Rebbe, not the Chachamim, but according to Rebbe, he has 365 days in which to act. So the concept of a year in Halacha, as being defined as 365 days, appears, according to Rebbe, by Bote Rechoma, and it will apply to our Yom Kippur sacrifices as well. Therefore, if an 8-day-old animal was set aside, Erev Yom Kippur, 8 days plus from one Yom Kippur to the next Yom Kippur is another 354 days, so it's 354 plus 8, 362 days, the animal is still within a year of its life, because a year is determined by the solar calendar, meaning 365 days. That is why, as far as the diamond number 4 is concerned, we're telling you don't use last year's Yom Kippur sacrifices for this year, because you might come to use a Chata Shofar Shnosa, where this itself is not necessarily a case of Ovra Shnosa, because you're within the 365 days. Nevertheless, we don't want you, because you might come to use a case where the animal passed that amount of time. So let's read this now in the Gemara. Four lines from the bottom. Ha lo kashya, the technical objection regarding diamond number 4 of why it says gzeira and not saying that it itself is an example of a Chata Shofar Shnosa. Last year's Yom Kippur sacrifices that by this Yom Kippur are not an example of Ovra Shnosa. I can explain that. Holo Kashya, this isn't a problem based on Kerebi Desanya Shana Tamimo. This Tanaic source, as we explained before, deals with the city, the houses in walled cities, in which time, within a year, the owner has the option of buying it back. In order to establish permanent ownership on the part of the buyer, he would count 365 days, Kaminyan Moisa Chama, as is the number of days in a solar year. Chama is the sun. Divrei Rebbe. That's Rebbe's approach. So you see, the idea of a Shana is established by Rebbe as being 365 days. V'chachomim oimrim. Now this is less important for us. We can de-emphasize this particular section. And that's why we've marked only Rebbe's name. The Chachomim say, with regard to Bote Orechoma, Moine Shnei Moser Chodesh Miyom Liyom, you count from the date that the house was sold till next year that same date, and if within that amount of time the original owner didn't buy back his house, it remains in the hands of the purchaser. The im nisabra, and if the year was lengthened by a month, so nisabra lemocher. That's called a Jewish leap year, where an Adar is added, so you have Adar Sheni as well in such a year. If that happens, so the year becomes essentially 13 months, the extended year works for the benefit of the mocher, of the seller. He has another 29 days in which to buy back the house that he sold. But we don't have to dwell on the Shita of the Chachamim right now. So the question that diamond number 4 was coming to answer was, why are last year's Parvasur of Yom Kippur not able to be used this year? So we said, because of Gzero Shema Mishum Chata She'ov Rosh Nosa. The Gemara says, Ha Tenach Sur, that explanation is fine with regard to the goat. The goat is a sin offering that must be within a year of age. Par Michael Amemar. When it comes to the cow offering, the rule of a year doesn't apply. The cow is an animal that is 3 years of age. So why can't I use last year's cow that was set aside for the Kohen Gadol's cow, Yom Kippur cow offering? And as we explained much earlier, it was not used because he had a replacement animal for it. Why can't I use it this year? Answer. Kseira Paro to Soyer. Again, as we've seen already so many times, a restriction is imposed on the cow in anticipation of the case of the goat. The question, same question as we've seen already before a number of times, Omishom Kseira, almost because of this fear of your confusing the par with the case of the Soyer, I'm going to say that they have to die, the Olid. And furthermore, and here's another long question, Chata Shavra Shnosa, the rule that applies to a sin offering that literally passed its year, that a year, it's over a year old, even by letter of the law, it is not something that's set aside to die. L'rayo Azla, Raya means it's set out to graze till it develops a blemish and then it's redeemed, but this dying business doesn't apply. D'yomer Reish Lakish, Chata Shavra Shnosa, a chatas that went above its designated year of age, we view it as if it is standing in a cemetery, and that's another way of saying that the Kohen has no access to it. He's not allowed to slaughter it, he's not allowed to offer it as a sacrifice. For Roya, it's set out to graze. Elo Omarova, diamond number five, again, an approach to explain why in the source that we saw in Daf Samachay did we say that the Parvus Soyer of last year's Yom Kippur cannot be used for this year. Gzeira Mishum Takola. We don't want you using it, and we said before, we had suggested along the way, why not set it out to graze? Well, the answer is because it comes to a takola, misuse. Literally, takola is a stumbling. Now, this takes a while to develop, and hence, one has to just wait to explain what is the issue of the takola. That's going to take a number of lines, so that we have used a long marking for this particular diamond, number five, so that you understand that all of this section of Gemara is going to develop the point of Takola. It's not going to be clearly, it's not going to be obvious immediately, though. Desanya. So we introduce here a Taneg source, which shows how we take evasive measures when it comes to a fear of stumbling, of erring. What's the case? So the source says, Ein makdishin vein marichin vein machrimin bizman hazeh. These are different verbs. Makdishin, marichin, machrimin all refer to different forms of dedications to the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays there is no Beis HaMikdash. Bizman hazeh means nowadays that the temple unfortunately is in ruins. We're waiting for its reconstruction, its reappearance, but in the meantime it's in ruins. So there's no value in sanctifying things for the Beis HaMikdash when it's not around. V'im hikdish v'erich v'chrim, if a person nevertheless did sanctify something nowadays, well, what did you do? What did you sanctify? Behemah, if you sanctified an animal as a sacrifice, te'okher. So it goes through a process known as ikur. We're not going to explain it now, that the Gemara deals with elsewhere. But for our purposes, it's not going to be used. Peros ksus v'kelim yirakvu. If you dedicated fruits, clothing, or vessels, they are set aside to rot. Mo'os uklimatris, if it's cash or metallic vessels, which don't rot, then they can, if you just leave them in your house, they'll sit around for many, many years to come. So, yoylichano liyamamah, if you take their value and cast them into the salt sea, the Dead Sea, which will destroy them. At least the money that was used to buy them, that value, that amount will be waste. Hence, you've solved the problem. V'ezehu ikur, we mentioned before regarding the animal te'oker. Here we explain what that is. You lock it in a room and it dies on its own. You don't kill it, but you allow it to die on its own. Takolo demai. Now, all of this source that mentioned sanctifying things bizman hazeh, we see that we destroy the items so that you don't come to misuse them. So the question right now is, when we speak about our parvus soyer of Yom Kippur, not using last year's parvus soyer of Yom Kippur this year, So because of stumbling, what stumbling? Takola demai, I takola dahakrova. If the fear is you might come to sacrifice them, to offer them, afilu kol rayas nami, then all cases where the halacha says set an animal to graze till it becomes disqualified, does this fear of maybe you'll come to use it in the meantime as a sacrifice when it's become disqualified, doesn't it exist? And yet we're not worried about that. Itakolo degiza vavoda, if the fear is you might shear the hair, the wool of the par v'soyer of Yom Kippur, if I leave it around till from last year to this year, you'll come to shear it or use it in work, which is strictly forbidden. You're dealing with sanctified animals. You're not allowed to shear them. You're not allowed to work with them, to plow with them. You can't do that. Afilu karayas nami, then, well, that same restriction should apply to all animals that are sent out to graze. And yet the halacha recognizes that if you have an animal that's become disqualified, you do set it out to graze. We're not worried about your coming to shear with them or work with them. The Gemara answers, Li'olam takola dahakrova. If we let you use, or we let you keep around last year's Yom Kippur sacrifices, and say, as was suggested earlier, set them out to graze, you might come to actually slaughter them as sacrifices. So the question is, well, why by the Yom Kippur sacrifices am I, yes, worried about your coming to use them, and other grazing animals, other grazers, meaning other sacrifices that were deemed or ruled upon to graze until they develop a blemish, why by those are we not worried about this? V'hanoch delav b'nei hakrova ninu lo torid behu. The other animals that we rule upon them, they are set out to graze, they are not animals that themselves are expected to be offered, but rather their money, their cash value, will be used to purchase voluntary offerings. Hach debas hakrovahi, the par and soyer of Yom Kippur, these are animals that were designated as Yom Kippur sacrifices. And you would have on your mind of using them for next Yom Kippur, torid ba. You are preoccupied with them, and you might come to offer them even before Yom Kippur arrives. Let us take a look at Rashi. Rashi dibur masel kol ros. It's a few lines up from here in the Rashi. All other grazers, kol hani dom rabon and yirad shistavu. Nechu Shema Yikrivum, all other cases we asked that where the Rabbanan ruled they are animal sacrifices that were rendered unfit. And we had an example very recently about a Chata Shofar Shnosa, a person had a personal sin offering that he needed to bring. So if it went above a year, it's set out to graze until it gets a mum. That's an example of other roos. Those animals are not themselves destined to be offered. It's their money that would be used to buy sacrifices. So lo torid behu, Rashi goes on, eino maharir v'akrovason, he's not thinking about them as far as they themselves as being offered, umesiach daite me'akrovaditu, and he stops thinking about them as being offered. Hach debas hakrovahi liyom kippurim abo, the par and soyer of Yom Kippur. If we would allow you to use last year's par and soyer of Yom Kippur next Yom Kippur, where he's thinking about them to bring them on this year's Yom Kippur, he's torbu libo, his heart is on them, al hakrovoso, regarding their being offered, the dilma makriv lo mekami Yom Kippur. You might come to offer them even before Yom Kippur, because you have in mind that these animals, these specific animals, to be brought as a sacrifice, he might end up using them as a sacrifice before Yom Kippur ever arrives, and they were earmarked, they were designated, they were sanctified as Yom Kippur sacrifices. The Gemara continues, V'takola atzmo tanoihi. This concern over stumbling, over making a mistake, and that being a consideration, is itself a machlokes tanoim. The Sanya Chada, one source says, Pesach shalikor b'rishon yikrov b'sheni, a korban Pesach that you didn't use on the 14th of Nisan, so it can be used on the 14th of Iyar. Sheni means the Pesach Sheni, someone who, let's say, was Tomei on the first Pesach on Yudalid Nisan, you can sell to him this korban Pesach that you didn't use, and let him offer it on Yudalid Iyar. B'sheni, let's say it wasn't offered on the second Pesach, on that Pesach Sheni, Yikruv L'shona Habo, let it be used next year. V'tanya idoch lo yikrav. Another source says it cannot be used. My lav b'takola pligi. Is this not an illustration of the issue of takola? In other words, leaving it around for next year. In the meantime, you might come to use it as a separate sacrifice when it's been earmarked as a korban Pesach. So it would seem that the daya that says the second source says lo yikrav is worried about this takola. The first approach would seem to say, I'm not worried about misuse. The Gemara says, lo, that is not the analysis of these two Pesach sources. The kuliamo lo chayshin takola. Both sources would agree, I'm not worried about misuse, about using it as something else. And here, these two sources revolve around the machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanan that we had before in terms of defining a year. It must be noted that a Korban Pesach is disqualified if it's more than a year old. Velo Kashya, and having said that these two sources represent Rebbe and the Rabbanan, there's no contradiction in these sources. Ha Rebbe, ha Rabbanan. The source that says use it for next year's Pesach, I tell you, from this Pesach to next Pesach, as strange as it might sound, a year has not gone by. When we say that, it means a year as far as animal age is concerned. Of course a year has gone by. Last year's Pesach to this year's Pesach, a year has gone by. But not a year as far as age of animals and sacrifices are concerned, when that year is defined as a solar year. So that from last year's Pesach to this year's Pesach, what's called the lunar year has gone by, 354 days have gone by, but you're still within that. If you had an animal on the 14th of Nisan of last year that was 8 days old, by this year's 14th of Nisan, that animal would be 362 days of age, approximately. It's not 365 days, so you can still use it. Ha Rabbanan, the source that said lo yikrav, that's in accordance with Rabbanan, that say that a year is defined as a calendar, Jewish calendar year, 354 days, from the same date last year to the same date this year. So from last year's Pesach to this year's Pesach, a year has gone by, therefore it's more than a year old, it's not kosher, not acceptable as a korban Pesach. Question. V'hotanyo v'chein hamois. But we have a source that says the same din applies to money that was set aside for a Korban Pesach. You cannot use that money for next year's Korban Pesach. If for whatever reason you set aside money for last year's Korban Pesach and you didn't use those monies, you cannot use them the next year. So how does that has nothing to do with age of animals. Elolav, Shma Mino, Betakolo Pligi. Shma Mino. This shows us that the fear of leaving money around from last year to this year and a source coming to tell me don't use them for next year's sacrifice, that is because of Takolo. So that the issue is a chashash of Takolo, of misusing the money or misusing the animals. If you are going to let them stay around from 1 year to the next year. So after all is said and done, we spent a great deal of time concerning the last sukkah, which started on Samach Hei Amud Aleph, where we explained Shitas Rav Yehuda with regard to shekels that were collected and lost, and replacement ones were provided. Nevertheless, we saw machlokas concerning using them, the double amount of money, one of those amounts, toward next year's shekel, machsis shekel obligation. Rabbi Yehuda says you can use the second amount of money that was used, let's say the replacement money that we described there, use it toward next year's obligation. And that was at Rava's explanation, Rabbi Yehuda, where he said, Then we asked the question, well, if that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say, with regard to a par and sur of Yom Kippur that were set aside for last year's Yom Kippur and not used, why can't they be used for next year's Yom Kippur? If, after all, Chayvus Shoshanazu, Chayvus Shoshanapa, well, as far as why Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of the Parvus of Yom Kippur, they cannot be used for next year's Yom Kippur, we had five approaches to that. And the last approach is that if you leave it around from one Yom Kippur to the next, there is the chashash of takola. Takola being, you might come to sacrifice them before next year's Yom Kippur, and that would be a total misuse of the of those animals that were designated as Yom Kippur sacrifices. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.